Mom!
Please keep this in the pod.
Mother!
Alan.
Ow. Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Pug Wars podcast. Who'd have thought we would have made it this far? That's almost half a year's worth of podcasts there, Lee. That's crazy, isn't it? 52 weeks. No, last week would have been half a year. That's crazy. I didn't even realise that. It's absolute
so much fun.
Madness. You know, where's the time gone? It is amazing how quickly time flies once you get going. But yes, we've had quite a lot of stuff this week, so I'm excited to talk about what's happened. You know, we're gonna pick up where we left off with the Van Gogh stuff in a minute. But before we do, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, mate. I'm feeling a lot better than I was last week.
Yeah, so we are no longer ill now, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Brilliant. And still buzzing from
rocking the very nice mint Tottenham Newcastle shirt. Sorry,
Tottenham. I won't talk on it too long because we are a Pokemon podcast, but I will briefly just throw it in there how buzzing I am from Newcastle's result last night against PSG. We give them a real welcome to Newcastle in the Champions League, and just absolutely bodied them. So it was, mate, it was amazing. Amazing night. Just wish, like I was saying to you before we started, I just wish I could have been there. It was just incredible, and have so much love for those boys. And Eddie Howe, just incredible. So, very, 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 very happy. Very happy, mate. But other than that, I'm good. How about you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, good.
Good win against Man United on the weekend as well. We'll just...
Excellent win against Man United. I've got to be honest, after they beat us 3-0 in the Carabao Cup in the week, I was not looking forward to it. But, you know, we went to Old Trafford again and we beat them. And now Roy is the only manager ever to have gone to Old Trafford and not lost five times in a row. Because we've won three games and drawn twice against Old Trafford. So, yeah. The goal as well from Anderson was sensational.
Joachim on his way to the tune, I reckon, in January.
Let's stop talking about that because I might start crying. Anyway.
Good old Roy, though.
Yeah. We're not here to talk football. We're here to talk about Pokemon, so.
Yeah.
As I alluded to in the intro, you know, the Van Gogh exhibit collab, Oration,
went south.
Kickstarted last week. Just before we touch on that quickly, a very interesting comment. From a viewer pointed out that, because I didn't really understand the collab, but apparently a lot of Van Gogh's art was inspired by Japanese art towards the end of his career, which I had no idea. So that kind of makes sense why they sort of did the collab. As we know, the museum shop opened up, and if you haven't already, I'll show you an example in a minute. There was some rather disturbing scenes from the shop in the museum of people scrambling rather embarrassingly to get hold of these all the Van Gogh stuff, and to me, like, I don't understand. So obviously the people that are ruining this, again, I'll show you the clip in a second, are the scalpers, right? They're trying to get hold of these cards and they were flipping them for stupidly inflated prices online. And what I can't wrap my head around is, I feel like you have to be in the Pokemon circle, or at least the trading card circle, to know about this collaboration, right? Or to at least to care about it. So I don't understand, because like I said, the scalpers are flipping these cards, which I think, and a lot of people on the subreddit think, and I think rightly so, is that the cards will plummet soon, especially when you can start ordering them from the Pokemon Center online. You know, like, they're not going to be worth a lot of money. I don't think it's going to be that card.
Yeah, from what I've heard from sources, from people that I know have sources inside the Pokemon company, they've got pallets of these cards. Like, so they're running out of stock to give these cards away with at the Van Gogh store, right? But Pokemon Company have literally printed pallets of these cards. So when they do eventually get round to doing stuff on the PokemonCenter.com website, which they will, they will have these, like you say,
like
they will
the Charizard.
I wasn't being ignorant on my phone, but I quite regularly keep updates with stuff that I'm watching on eBay, because like we mentioned, the running theme the past few weeks is I've been keeping an eye on a lot of vintage cards that I'm wanting. So I regularly look through stuff that's listed on eBay. This is something that's listed right now. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah.
You probably can't see.
Yeah.
280.
58.
Yeah. Yeah, 58. Yeah. And that's got like three
but
minutes
what,
left.
What? My
I'm
point
like,
was...
That is absolutely nuts.
Who's bidding on this? Because if you know about the scene, right, you know the price will drop, and you know you also get a 3-1 from the Pokemon Center. So I can't understand, like, who's got this much FOMO that they want it now? Or are people trying to buy it to flip it again? Like,
maybe,
I don't understand.
Maybe buy it, maybe grade it quickly, maybe flip it again. Maybe people that aren't, you know, haven't been in the scene as long as maybe like the likes of me and you, and know how it works, right? Know how the cycle works with these sort of things. Or maybe they are experienced people and they are thinking, nah, this rumor that Pokemon have got pallets of this stuff is not true. These are going to be like exclusively rare cards, and I'm going to grab it now before the price goes even higher. I mean, this video here, mate, it just gives no hope for humanity. It like absolutely just, it was a very sad day that day with this happening, because I had some other really horrible news that day, and I was just like, what, why are people acting like this? There's, you know,
fucking you know. Yeah, I don't, it reminded me of the,
disappointment.
Yeah, yeah. Someone here saying not a child in sight. This is quite funny. It reminded me of when there was
the targets in the Walmart.
Well, there's that, and there's also it happened in Japan recently when they did the Eevee promos.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
But I'm not giving them a pass, but it seems that cards are. I don't know if it's just they don't print enough in Japan, but they seem to have an ongoing issue with not enough stock in Japan. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's kind of why people were a bit like that. But this just, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's fucking white men. It just pisses me off. Just like clearly going to scalp it, you know. These people, the people in these videos, they're not there because they want it. They're there because they want to sell it on. So, you know, I don't know.
That's the problem, I think. They're not like, you know, I can't really speak to for anyone, but I just feel like they might be like real hardcore fans of the franchise. They might be, right? But you know, the underlying tone there is when you're in that situation and you're fighting off other people and you're grabbing as many things, you don't care what it is, as possible, you're only in it there for the money. And it's just so greedy. And I think it just highlights all of the issues with so many things in this day and age. And I think I'm not gonna go on a rant because I could go on forever about this, but it's just so disappointing to see. I just really, really dislike it. And I think there could have been, they must have known by the like before that shop opened, right? Now I know it's like easy to say in hindsight, but they must have seen the amount of people that turned up that morning, and surely they could have said, we need to do something. We need to be like one item per customer and like do something like that. And that then prevents this sort of thing happening. And then you disappoint a lot of middle-aged white
one
men.
One item per customer, and also maybe only let 5 people in at a time or something.
Yeah.
You know. Because it's a museum as well. That's the thing that like...
They're probably not used to that. But I think like there should have probably been some sort of like, you know, communication from Pokemon to be like, be aware of this. This is probably going to be
common
quite
issue.
A hot thing. So, like, just maybe put these things in place. Museums have security and stuff like that, so you know you could organize that way. But I don't know. Like I said, it's easy for me to sit here in hindsight after the situation and say that
it
should have happened. But I just think it's so just disappointing, mate. I just think why are you acting like, why do people need to feel the need to act like that? It's just greed though, that's all it is, you know. And it might be a consequence of living conditions in the world at the minute where people are struggling, things are getting inflated all the time. I just don't know, it's just a horrible cycle, and that might be a reason down to it. But at the end of the day, you know, it's I don't really know what to say about it. Just disappointing, man. I'm just
I don't know. I think
bad.
Scalping is such an interesting one, like, because from the one hand, you know, like you said, I'm not going to try to get down and political right now, but, you know, if you want to look at it from like a selfish point of view, you know, if you're trying to look out for yourself, you could argue, okay, maybe, you know, it's smart to get hold of something early and flip it. But I think, you know, the problem is if you take a step back and like look at it, you know, you got to think at, you don't think about it from the point of view as if you've ever wanted something like that's coming out on release day, you know, and be like, well, you know, if people was inflating the prices for something that I really wanted, you'd be really angry.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. I just think in my head, like, I can't comprehend how, like, you just have to be so, like, I don't know, maybe, like, just so selfish just to, like, just to do this. And it feels like too much effort for me, like, you know.
That's
just,
the thing, like, it's so much effort. And I don't get, like, do people not have guilt? Because I feel like if I was buying stuff and then just flipping it for, like, double the cost, I definitely have this, like, horrible sense of guilt about me every time I did that to someone, because I'd be like, I'm ripping you off. And I think I wouldn't want to be ripped off. And I don't want to do that to someone else. And I just think, how can you keep continually doing that? And there's not even remorse there. It's just like, right, what can the next high price be? What can the next high price be?
I mean, you're right, and I agree with that. But again, maybe in their heads, they're looking at it as just like a business, you know, a business point of view. You could argue that buying a stock before you have an intention of it rising high, you know, is shooting to the moon, you know, is a smart thing to do. So obviously it's a very different example. We're talking about fucking Pokemon cards, but, you know, maybe that's how they justify it in their head, you know, like the thought of being able to make it, because it's easy money, right? Really, it's just a scummy thing to do. And I think most people, I think really, if you're a fan, like, of the franchise, and, you know, just like quite a level-headed person, because I'm not going to go ahead, I think it's unfair to call these people scummy. I mean, it's a scummy thing to do, but, you know, you don't know what the situation is. But giving them the benefit of the doubt, if you want to say it like that. But, you know, it's not something that I think most people would go out and do.
There's definitely people, I'm just going to say it, it's really triggered me that. Like, I feel I agree with you completely, but it's definitely scummy. I'm going to say it.
No, it's scummy.
There are some people in those videos that are just showing no decorum at all. And it's
bad manners as well, right? This is what, like, it's different if you're scalping something, because you can scalp stuff in, like, the right way, if it makes sense, you know. If you're queuing up, if you got there really early the day before, you're at the front of the queue, you're like, oh, I'm gonna get everything. But when you're fighting other grown men or people, you know, you're an adult for fucking Pokemon shit, you know, whatever it is, just because you want to flip it quickly, it's just ridiculous.
Can you imagine if you went with your kids right that day and you were there in amongst that, and your kids were getting like trampled over by other grown men trying to grab like bits of like cardboard?
Bro, I'd just start brawling.
Do you know what I mean, though?
It's I think that is a problem, right? That is what that's what exacerbates how bad it is the behavior of the scalpers, you know, in person. You know, it's just rude, and obviously being British, we're quite a polite, we tend to be as polite as possible, so, you know, it strikes a nerve sort of deep within when people aren't being courteous, or, you know, just behaving like a normal human being. So I think
that when that sort of situation arises, that kind of just goes out the window, though, right? It's just like, let's take advantage of this while it's happening. I think the thing, like, you know, like, and it's definitely put me off the collecting side of things in a big way was the release of Celebrations and the scalping that was going on for the Ultra Premium Collection. And I swear that was like the last kind of straw for me, where I was like, I'm not gonna chase things anymore. And at that point, you had to be really on it to get pre-orders of stuff to make sure you could secure stuff. And I wasn't buying like loads of stuff. I was buying like a booster box and maybe an ETB of a set. That's what I wanted to collect. That's what I was enjoying collecting. And all I wanted was the ETB of Celebrations, which I've got up on my shelf up there still. Kept it sealed, wanted to keep it sealed. and I just wanted the Ultra Premium Collection, and that was it. And I was like, if I can get those two items, I will be super happy. And the way the market went for those Ultra Premium Collections, where it was like, okay, they're in stock at these stores and getting cleaned out like straight away, and then instantly on eBay for like triple the price. And I was
like all of the classic trading card thing that they released that was like 400 quid and is now selling insane amounts of money on eBay. It's just like, you're just ruining it for the people that actually want it. There is an argument to say that, okay, yeah, you know, you could buy stuff, you know, to flip in the future, but you know, I also think, I don't think there's a problem with that if you're just buying one, you know, and you're not flipping it straight away either.
Yeah,
you know, it's different to buy something. Exactly. You know, it's just a different, it's a different mindset.
Yeah, and you're not battling other people to get one. Like,
no, exactly.
Everyone should be able to get one. Yeah, you know,
you can do what you like with it once you have one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, what was I going to say? I've lost my train of thought completely. I'm sorry.
Trying to cast. Why you think about that? I'm going to talk about.
I just killed that juicy content that you were giving us, mate. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I wanted to touch on the new Paradox Rift set that's coming out soon.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Some of the cards in there are gorgeous. I just saw these ones on Reddit. These aren't all the ones. So, you know, for those of you that have been, oh, you're missing cards, these are just ones that someone posted on Reddit, which I think look really nice. We know, obviously, about the Goldengo card with the Gimmagool and the two-part which is a very beautiful card.
So, so nice.
But these cards, some of these cards just look, I just like, wow. Like, this Garchomp and the Groudon look so, and even the Veltal, they're all so gorgeous. And then this card right here, the trainer cards are just like, you know that's going to be worth so much. I actually don't know, but
I think it is Erica, because they've got Erica in the 151 set. They got,
do you know what I find super interesting, right? And I think we touched on this in the podcast before, sorry to cut you off, is that like in Japan, like the trainer cards are like really sought after.
Yeah,
so for, like they're like, if like in the UK, you know, obviously some of the trainer cards are super nice, like the full art ones and stuff, but certain like just the full art trainer cards in Japan are just like worth, like they're just, the Japanese ones are just worth so much money for some reason. They just have an affinity for like the trainers and like the gym leaders and stuff, which I quite like the fact that they've got their own sort of like, you know, this is what we value, you know.
I think the ones that I always think of are the I can't remember what the set is called, their equivalent set that was Cosmic Eclipse for us. I can't remember the name of it, but they had the red, blue and green cards in that set. We got them as well. They were split over two sets for us, I think, between Cosmic Eclipse and I can't remember the other one, but those cards were like, they're still crazy expensive. And Lily as well, from it wasn't Base Ceremony, I think it was Ultra Prism set. The Lily card from that was just absolutely nuts. I'd love those cards because they're really nice display pieces as well. But yeah, the Japanese ones of those are always way more inflated than what they are in like an English kind of version.
Yeah. Like I said, different market, right? You know, I do find collecting fascinating because, you know, people just like to collect stuff, but then certain cars go up in value, certain cars come down in value. I think it's a collectible, even though Pokemon prints a shit ton of these, like, they're always going to be worth money. Like, any sort of card game, it's just...
That's what I was going to say. Printing, you've got me back on. All I was going to say, on the back of all of those things that we saw with Celebrations, then we had the Charizard Ultra Premium Collection box, right? And that was printed into Oblivion, and you can buy that. I think you can get it as low as, like, 80 quid now for that. Yeah. And that's really good, right? It's got some banging promos in it, and I think like everyone that wanted that has been able to pick it up, and I think that's how it always should be. And you know, the collectors are going to be like not happy about that because the value of that, right? It's because it's so abundantly like available.
It shouldn't be a rare thing. If people want it, they should just make more of them.
Exactly. Yeah. You know. I like what Japan did, and they still do it periodically. I was lucky enough to pick one up, which was the they do sometimes they'll do like a pre-order, and they'll whoever so they'll have like a period for pre-ordering a product, and they'll say we will print as many that are pre-ordered in this time.
That's so a good idea. It's right? a good idea.
Right,
it's made so to order, basically.
Yeah, the Precious Collector box that they did for Sword and Shield with the it was like a full art Pikachu card with like lots of other Pokemon from the Sword and Shield era in. It was a really nice promo card. That was like the main piece of it, and you got like some other bits, like a frame to put it in, things like that. And when I saw the pre-order go up, I had Ross to thank for that because he covered it on his channel. I was like, oh, I'd love that. It'd be a nice way to kind of end off the Sword and Shield era for me because it's a nice piece. So I pre-ordered it and completely forgot about it. And I was like, yeah, because it was like months away before they actually printed and posted it. And everyone that pre-ordered got one, but it's the people that missed out on that pre-order period. Then I think it's like it makes it a little bit more difficult for them, because then once that printing period's kind of come to an end for that product, they're never going to print that again. They're never going to make that product.
Yeah,
again.
But I think I get that all comes down to, I guess, how long is the print run? You know, how much do they advertise it? Because that's their own fault if they're not. It's stupid. If they're going to do it that way, you need to make sure people know about it. Because also they want to sell as many as they can as well. So
yeah, there was like a special art Pikachu card that they had in Crown Zenith, which was the same as the Japanese one that they did in this Precious Collection.
Do you know what they used to do, which I don't think they do with booster boxes anymore, but like in the old booster boxes, didn't they used to give you like promo cards? Like inside the booster box. Was it Neo Genesis or like the weird holographic ones? You got a it was like a larger promo card as well.
You got it was like a box topper, they called it.
Yeah.
But that was like the e-reader series. I don't know if they did it in Neo. I can't remember if they did, but I know they did it in like Aquapolis and a few of the other sets.
Could that be like more of an incentive to buy booster boxes for the promo cards?
Yeah. I mean, they do it for ETBs, right? The promo that you get now in ETBs is like amazing. And they do a promo on every ETB now. It's not just, you know, where they used to just have a promo in the, like the holiday sets that we get. That would be the only promo cards that you would get. But it seems to be like every.
But it's a nice, like, I feel like, you know, if you want to talk about it that way, but the booster box ones are technically rarer, you could argue, because, you know, that people will be less likely to buy a whole booster box, but you know, maybe not, because they will print a lot of booster boxes. But you know,
I mean, they've done a bunch of things over the years, haven't they? Like with the pre-release, you know, the pre-release boxes that we used to get like promos in those. The last big ones I can really remember were the ones for Vivid Voltage, you know, and they had the actual card set printed, the logo of that card set printed on the card. It was the Lugia, the Charizard, Snorlax, and oh, I can't remember the fourth one, but there's four of them that you could get. And it was random what you got in a pre-release box. But then it made up a little set, which is cool. So something
actually,
like that would be
I would love
really,
to go to
really
pre-release,
good.
Actually. This is a bit of a tangent, but I haven't... I used to go to pre-releases a lot when I dabbled in TCG. And they're just...
They're a lot of fun.
They're just a fun way to get... like, because you get the cards early, right? But you also get to play a tournament, so...
I feel like the pulls from pre-release boxes are, like, always good. I pulled a... full art in the what's it called?
A good value as well, normally when you go to pre-release. They're not like inflated.
No,
you get like 4 or 5 booster box packs or something.
I can't remember the set. What's it called with the Urshifus on?
Battle Styles.
Yeah. I got one of those pre-releases and I pulled the alt art Titar in it. I was like, what? The chase card from the set, got it in the pre-release box. Always a good feeling. But
On the topic of those cards I showed you earlier, quickly, I just found some guy who packed the Goldengo, and this card looks, I mean, the shiny card in the light looks amazing, but you know, this looks pretty sick. This is just
that
the top
lush,
half.
Isn't it? That is amazing. So cool.
Yeah, I really like
that. Imagine pulling that. I love how much it pops as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's how sick it is.
And the coins.
Yeah.
It's very cool. I love, it's definitely something I would love to have just to display. It's a very good display piece.
Well, that's why, like, you know, nice. I bought, I'm a very, if you know me, I'm I'm all about the aesthetics, you know. Overfunction, should I say, even when it shouldn't be. But you know, I sometimes, you know, I've got this. I don't know what set it's from. I've got this time space distortion card. It's a trainer card that has like Uxie, Azelf, and Mesprit on. I just really like the look of it, so I was like, I'm gonna get it graded. And so I got it graded, just took it out on display. Like, I think certain cards just look, I mean, that's the whole point of, like, I guess why they're leaning into the alt arts, because, you know, like, from a collecting standpoint, like, I want to collect something that looks good, not necessarily, you know, you got the you know, investment side of things. But, you know, if you go down to the base value, like, the reason people get into collecting is because, you know, there's a lot of really beautiful artwork, at least. I mean, there's more and more of it now, like I said, because they're trying to seem to be pushing these full art cards. But, you know, I just that's what I liked about it.
It's cool. And then having like the stories attached to those cards as well, how you like got it, or, you know, there's always a story attached to them. I think that's always the nice thing about them. The art display pieces, I just think that's the one of the draws about them, you know, when you're collecting, having them on display and stuff like that.
I do have a sad story that I found on Reddit of someone's graded. You know, like the beautiful like Magikarp card.
Which one? The alt art one from? Yeah.
Well, like the dark background. No. Like. I want to show. I want to show it to you before I. Magikarp full art. Before I show you the actual card, this one.
You sending it to me?
No, I'm just showing it on stream.
Oh, this one's from a recent set, isn't it?
Yeah. So some guy got it graded, right?
It's a nice card, isn't
and
it?
His dog got hold of it.
No, what grade is it?
It's a 10.
It's a 10. Oh no, it's not a 10 anymore.
It's not a 10 anymore.
No.
He has absolutely destroyed that.
That is brutal. Bad dog. looks like a nice dog as well.
It's a very cute dog. Belongs nice to the dog now. So, yeah.
Oh, you'd be so gutted, wouldn't you? You'd be so gutted. Imagine if he's... I don't know if the person's got, like, more PSA cards. You know, you would be like... Why didn't you take one of the ones that I don't care about so much?
Yeah. Or unless he's one of the dogs that went through the... What probably happened, I would imagine, is that he went through the post and ripped the box open and found it.
Yeah.
The comment's like, she's not been put up for adoption. It's okay. But yes.
Oh, man. Brutal. Yeah, dude, getting on to, like, dogs, like, oh, some dogs are crazy with paws. So I used to have a paper round as a kid, right? And I always remember this one house. This is a bit of a tangent. I always remember this one house. I used to literally, you would, like, as soon as I got off my bike to walk up and push the paper through the letterbox, you'd hear this, like, dog going mad. And I'd be like, oh, my God. And so many times I'd put the paper in, and like the dog would grab it and pull my hand through, and I'd get my hand jammed in the door, or like the letterbox would slam down on it because it was a real strong flap. And I would hate this house, but I only delivered it to it once a week. Oh man. And there'd be times where I'd be like, some days I'd be like, right, I'm going to grab this and I'm going to like try and pull it back, grab the dog and try and like have this like tug of war with it at like 5 o'clock in the morning delivering papers. But I just think when you mention that, like, anyone was delivering PSA cards to that house, that would be the same situation. There would be nothing left.
Yeah, I remember I had to do that. Once, I can't remember what it was, but I had to go post, I think it was trying to promote my uncle's business or something. We posted flyers for people's doors.
Yeah.
And I remember being like really scared of that, like, just like a dog running. Some of them, like I said, just do. They hear something come from the mailbox. Just charge at the door. And I had one that like really scared me because, like I said, it just snapped it as soon as I put it through the door.
You'd think those people would have like one of those box, like a wire, like box on the back of the letterbox to kind of catch the mail in, right? So anything important that came through didn't get chewed up.
Yeah.
Because I'd imagine that is like
Yeah, because you must get a lot of like important paperwork come through. You know, sometimes in the post you don't want it just ripped up.
Yeah, imagine getting like a speeding fine through and being like, your dog's
"Oh, my dog ate it." Did it really? Yeah. It did.
Yeah, I've got one of those dogs that does that. Yeah, and it's like, I don't think so. We've gone to jail now for 3 months.
Fuck. No.
Dogs sitting there laughing.
Yeah, so that was pretty much all the an interesting tangent for TCG, which is nice because we don't always touch on TCG.
When is that? When is the new set releasing? Is it the end of October?
What did we say it was called again?
How They Are Evolved, isn't it?
No, that was the one.
Out. It's Paradox Rift, isn't it?
Yeah. Paradox Rift released. Yeah.
The end of October, or is it early November?
3rd of November.
3rd of November. Yeah. Okay, so it's not too long. And then that'll be the set before... I think the next set after that will be another holiday set, right? It'll be in February, yeah. So that'll be interesting to see what they do for that one. Ultra Premium Collection box is now out as of tomorrow, as of this podcast going up. That for the 151 set. Going out. That looks really nice, man.
I haven't picked any 151 stuff up. I think I'm going to... Because I'm going to Comic Con at the end of the month... If I can find something that's reasonably priced, I'll pick something up, but I'm not going to go out of my way to overspend for it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it, so.
Might pick some stuff up in Lille when we're there.
Yeah,
for the regional. Oh, we could do a special. I've just thought we could do a special Lille.
We're going to have to.
That weekend. We've got to do our
intro as well on the 3DS.
On the 3DS, the DS.
I've got it written down on my board so we don't forget.
Tangent time. Talking about the 3DS and the online services, there was an announcement dropped yesterday from Nintendo. We'll briefly talk about it. But earlier this year in March, they closed the eShop on Nintendo 3DS and Wii and Wii U services. So that was closed. If you had bought games previously... on your account and you had a different console but you logged in under that account, you can still download that software. It is still available and the updates for that software are still available, but if you hadn't ever previously bought that software, no longer available for you to get on those systems. And on the back of that, yesterday Nintendo have announced that they will be closing all online services for the 3DS and the Wii U come April 2024. So that means for Pokemon players specifically, GTS support, Wonder Trading, things like that are all going to be closing down. So you're not going to be able to do any of those things on any of the 3DS era titles, which is pretty sad because it's kind of like it is inevitable, I think, at some point, but it is a bit of an end to an era with that great selection of games that we've got on the 3DS. And they have stated, though, that Pokemon Bank is going to stay operational, so you will still have the chance to trade over Pokemon from Pokemon Bank from those games to Pokemon Home. But they have advised as well, the Pokemon company, stating if you can trade your Pokemon into Pokemon Home, do it sooner rather than later, which is also hinting at the inevitable shutting down of Pokemon Bank coming, I would say, probably mid next year. So... not got long to take advantage of all those things, and that'll mean that, you know, Pokemon from the Virtual Console games, Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, Crystal, all of the back catalog that are available on the 3DS, any Pokemon from those when Pokemon Bank is finally closed will not be accessible on any future games to be traded into Pokemon Home. So that will be a sad day, but it feels like it is coming. I covered the video yesterday when the news broke, and I think one of the things that I feel that will come off the back of this is that they will have to, I think, implement the Classic Collection onto the Switch or the successor of the Switch or anything like that. Oh, look, there it is. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I agree. It does feel like it's alluding to that, doesn't it? But we've been saying that for ages, so who knows at this point. On the topic of the Switch, actually, before we move on, I noticed this recently from one of the tech channels that I watched, but... the sales for the Switch have been dropping, which is the first time it has in a while. Obviously, I understand it just like never slowed down, right? Which is insane, really, considering how long it's been out. But it's finally started to drop. So, you know, it feels like... I mean, we know it's coming next year, but this essentially confirms that, yeah, you know, they need to get something out next year because the sales of the Switch are slowing down. So, which is happy. Like I said, we pretty much, we know it's coming next year at this point. So it's very exciting. When we get that announcement, we don't know. Still up in the air. A bit similar to, what's the launch title going to be? When's it coming out as well? You know, it'd be nice to sort of find out when it's coming out. Maybe we'll get teased earlier next year at some point. But yes, I just thought that was interesting to see that they're finally sort of like slowing down. And then they expect it to continue actually into next year. So
makes sense too. Because I think of a lot of people, like especially the hardcore fans of Nintendo, that they've obviously got wind of a new console on the horizon.
Yeah, so people aren't going to be going out and buy one, so it makes a lot of sense, really.
No, even like upgrading from like the older console to an OLED, and they're gonna have like
Switch, so I never bought an OLED or the improved battery life one or anything like that, or Switch Lite. So it'd be nice to get an improvement or an upgrade over something
might get a cheap OLED, but then
there's no point. I want to get the more powerful console.
Just get the new console.
Yes, it's exciting.
I was watching something the other day, and it was talking about the Switch. Its battery life, the improvements to the battery life from when it first came out. I think when it first dropped in 2016, I think it stated that you could have like it would play Breath of the Wild for like 3 hours in handheld mode before the battery ran out, something like that. And then you look at like the OLED now, which can play Breath of the Wild for like 6 hours, right? Which is like incredible, really, battery life for it. So the battery life is very good on the console. And then you compare, they were comparing it to the Steam Deck right now, and the Steam Deck is terrible. You get like 2 hours, maybe.
It is a lot more powerful, though.
I know that, yeah. I do know it's a lot more powerful, but at the same time, it's like it doesn't have the flexibility to kind of take it and play it out and about.
And that's a big thing. I mean, I remember when we went to... the last MSS I went to was Zoe. She has the OLED Switch, and she was like, I didn't bring a charger with me. I was like, it's all right, you can borrow mine if you need it during the day, because, playing Pokemon all day can drain the battery, and normally when you go to official tournaments, they have charging docks that you dock your Switch into when you play, so you never have to worry about charging it. It's a great thing. Yeah. But at locals, you don't have that luxury. So normally you have to take your own portable charger and your own stand and stuff like that, so... She was a bit worried, but yeah, her Switch, she didn't even charge it. She didn't need to charge it all day. She used it all day. It was fine. So, I was surprised by that because, like you said, the original Switch, although I've never really had the problem, to be honest. I've never really sat down and played the Switch for, like, I guess if you're traveling and you want to play it for a long time, but when I've been at home, I've never really got to the point where I'm like, fuck, got to charge it. I've always, a 3 hour playtime for me is quite long. So once I hit that limit, I just whip it on the dock. That's one of the. One of the only good things about the dock is it charges it, obviously, so you can just easy to whip it in, whip it out, and it's charged again. So
that is very true. The dock is good. But
yeah. Did you ever put a screen protector on yours? Because I put a screen protector on mine because I was worried about it getting scratched.
I did. Weirdly enough, mate, when I got the Switch originally, which is the same model as yours, I got mine. I think around the same time you got yours. I got a screen protector for it, but when I got the OLED recently, I never put one on because I really rarely felt like I was going to be using it outside the house. And I haven't really, I've been to a couple of events, and I take it with me when I'm traveling, but I've got a hard case for it. So I'm like, I don't really need to. So I've never really thought about it, but, I guess it would be something that would depend on when the new model comes out. I think it's something I probably would get straight away, depending on what the screen's glass or if it needs one.
Yeah, I was just curious because I think when it come out or like certain docks and stuff were scratching it or something like when you take it in, that's why I got the screen protector.
Yeah. I think that's the same reason as I got it, because it was that issue with the docks when they were putting it in. It was like marking the screen down the sides, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that didn't seem to be an issue anymore.
Yes. I've still got the original screen protector. Like when I bought one, I bought a screen protector at the same time. And when I got it out, I literally put it on straight away and it's still been on there. Yeah. So it's misaligned. Yeah. But I've had it like that for 5 years, so it doesn't really matter. It's cruel. It's mad to think I've had that for, but I bought that in 2018. So yeah, it's 5 years old now. Damn.
Yeah. I got mine just before Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee came out. Just because I bought it for that reason, so I could get those games.
Yeah, that was the reason I bought mine.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm actually really excited for a new console because, you know, I'm not a massive gamer, but there's something about the Nintendo consoles that, like, get you excited, you know?
Yeah. Detective Pikachu 2 is out as of this pod going out. Did it on the Friday. We're pre-recording this on the Thursday, so tomorrow, as of recording this, Detective Pikachu 2. You looking to get in that, mate?
Probably not. No. Again, I don't know how popular it is.
I think it's got quite a good following in the community. It's not something that I've ever played, and I probably won't be picking up. But I did pre-order Mario Wonder, and I'm looking forward to getting that when that comes out later this month, which is going to be good. But
That looks good. I just looked up the units sold for Detective Pikachu, and it's 121,000.
Is that just for the first one on the Switch?
Yes.
Have a look at what the 3DS one sold like, because it was originally out on the 3DS, I think.
Oh, actually, wait. This Switch might be 3DS. No, that would have been 2018. So we'll look.
Interesting. It must have been pretty popular for them to make a movie off the back of it, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's what it was based on, wasn't it?
Yeah, the movie based on the games, yeah.
So the sales numbers are total sales. So in Japan, it was 120,000. NA was 150,000. Europe was 170. And then others was 30,000. So
not much.
Not much, just under 500,000.
Wow. And what was the Switch sales like for it?
100K.
Wow.
It's over 100K.
Wow.
So, well, you compare that to Scarlet and Violet sales numbers.
You in know, the millions.
We know what they are, but yeah, in the millions.
In the millions. Yeah, that's crazy. I thought it would be a lot higher than that. It just goes to show the power of the main series titles. Talking about main series titles, though, we...
I do want to... Go on, you go first.
Okay, we'll talk about a little bit of what's been going on in games recently. We've just had the mass outbreak event for the Clefairies. That was the first mass outbreak event in the games that we've ever had. I think it was really like a nice little event, and I hope they keep doing it. And I think it just
the good thing about it, like you said, is the what it means to come. You know, we're going to get other mass outbreaks for Pokemon that you can shiny hunt easily, which is great.
Yeah, with marks, turned out to be a lot harder to get than not. But yeah, that's what I think. The prospect for the future events is very exciting. So that was a cool little event. And to have those maybe in between 7-star raids each week instead of a Spotlight Terror Raid event, which seemed pretty pointless, to be honest, for the most part, is a lot more engaging, I think, for the player base, at least in my opinion. And then we've got the Decidueye raid, which will be going live tonight, which is 7-star Hisuian Decidueye. So first time that's going to be available in the games. Exciting. So that'll be good to see that.
You're streaming that, aren't you?
I am tonight, yeah, for the first time. Going to stream when it goes live. So that'll be, see how that goes. Be interesting to see how that plays out. And... I think Corviknight is going to be very good against it, just with the mirror armor, especially if it's using triple arrows to drop your defense, then you're inevitably going to drop its defense. So I think Corviknight, obviously, just very good generally. So it might be the play against it. I think Iron Moth's still going to be a good option against it. I think Ice Q could be quite good. I've built an Ice Q to try against it, just because of Ice Face and Belly Drum. I think it could be would be quite good. I've got a specific set, so it'll be a little bit fun to play around with those things, see what works. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a hard raid at all. And then we should get the announcement of a new mass outbreak event on Sunday night this week, and the following Sunday we should get the next 7-star raid announced. So yeah, that's going on in game. We are expecting an update at some point to patch the issues with the trainer data and other things in the Teal Mask Scarlet and Violet base games. So that should hopefully drop next week, I think. So we're waiting on news for that. But outside of that, not much else. We've got the Kitakami Prologue tournament happening, so registration's live at the moment for that. And the new rank ladder is well underway for Regulation E. But that's about it at the moment. We're just waiting on, I guess, some sort of news in regards to the Indigo Disc when that is likely to drop. I still think it's going to be probably December time when that game does drop. But we've had some interesting things from coming out from specifically Riddler Coup this week. Well, I didn't know if
before we touch on to that,
but I'll let you go
because I actually don't know about that, but I did see some very interesting things because at this point it's kind of pretty much, you know, it feels like we know that it's a Gen 5 iteration of a game that's coming out at the end of next year. I would be blown away if it's not. Like, everything links to it at this point, with the Blueberry Academy being in Unova, and also, you know, Pokemon have started to tease random stuff, and there's obviously the link to the characters in Blueberry Academy as well. But they did this really interesting tweet the other day, which is just out of the blue from the Black and White games. This little scene from Black and White where this woman just appears behind you and, like, walks out and then disappears, and like Pokemon just posted it with like zero context.
That is weird.
They were just like,
is that Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire?
Is it? Maybe I'm stupid.
X and Y.
Maybe it is X and Y. No, of course it is. It's not Black and White. Never mind. That's just irrelevant then, isn't it? Ignore what I just said.
There's a lot of talk about a Johto remake as well, you know, next year. Like, because of all the Johto references in Scarlet and Violet and Kitakami as well, like a lot of like Pokemon in Kitakami reference to Johto, obviously the exclusive Pokemon Gligar, Ambipom. But yeah, it is interesting. What were you going to make about that point though? I want to hear how it ended up.
No, I thought this was Black and White, but it's not, so it's irrelevant. It's just them teasing it. So I was like, for some reason, I thought it was Black and White, but it's not, so I apologize for that. However, Light did put an interesting comment out the other day, just like being like, where do you think the Blueberry Academy will be based? A lot of comments have been like, well, it's probably not going to be on the map originally, but I was interested to see what sort of your thoughts were, whether you think it would be on the original map or they would sneak it off to the side somewhere, or, you know, obviously it's in water somewhere, so I guess it would have to be around the bottom, or it might be over here to the right-hand side.
I think it'll be to the right in that ocean there, to the right, because I think if you look, there's like isn't there like an underwater bridge that goes around that side of the map? I think if I'm remembering right, but
that
I think
would make
it'll
sense.
Be around that side. I don't think we'll see Unova. I don't think we're going to be able to go in and explore Unova as much as that would be cool. So I think it will be just an ocean area that we'll be able to... I don't think we'll be able to explore outside of the Blueberry Academy. I think that will be a fly point and we'll be able to go inside there. But that will be it. You know.
So what was the Riddlicu stuff? Do you know about it? Before I'll look it up while you talk about it, but I didn't have that.
I'm just trying to look for the...
What's his app?
It's at Riddler_Coup. But it was basically a tweet that he put out the other day talking about it was basically hinting that potentially the remakes are gonna be pretty similar. The same, it was like something about the same soup, and referring to BDSP. And a lot of people are kind of taking that as, are they going to be faithful remakes of the original games? and is Ilka going to be involved in this remake? And it's not what we're quite expecting, which could be something.
A Legends game would make a lot of sense, but it's whether they want.
Well,
you know.
This is what I was going to say. If they're giving a faithful remake to Ilka to produce, right? A bit like BDSP. So we get Black and White come out on the Switch. Are they then going to bring out a new Legends game alongside it like they did that you know?
I hope they don't do the same again. I don't want to hate on Ilka, but like, I don't want a faithful remake. Like, I want something different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could have, I don't know, like, I feel like you could have a faithful, I don't know what his class is when you had, because, like, Oras, right, was essentially a faithful remake, but it added stuff. So, obviously, I guess it's not a faithful remake because it's not down to the T. I don't know what you, is it just a remake? But, I would like a remake, you know? You can still have the same part, but add new content. I just don't think, like, I won't go buy it otherwise. Like, I bought, you know, Brilliant Darling Simon Pole because I was like, well, you know, obviously nostalgia, I wanted to buy it, but I don't think it's worth, like, Oras was so good.
Yeah, it was very good.
And so was Heart Gold and Soul Silver. So, like, why?
Yeah, when they're setting the bar that high with other remakes, it feels a little bit bad when they're kind of not doing the same for
Pearl
Platinum, that kind of feel like that generation deserves to have something of its own, you know. Siri. But I think with the thing I heard someone talking about the other day, you know, I think that the hard thing that they're going to have to implement if they do a sequel to Black and White 2, right, I think the thing is a lot of players now probably not play Black and White and probably not play Black and White 2. If they're continuing the storyline on, kind of like, well, are a lot of the player base, do they know what happened before? So I think they're gonna have to play it really smart to kind of integrate, to have like it stand alone as a storyline, but
White,
also have callbacks to those previous two games.
I feel like inherently, and I understand they are separate games, Black and White 2, but they're essentially the same game, right, on the base level.
No,
are they
not really? No,
I don't remember playing them. I played
two
them
totally different times.
Different times.
Two different. Yeah.
Okay, because I felt like. Because Sun and Moon was essentially the same game, right?
Yeah, I mean the only difference in Ultra Sun and Moon was the post game stuff with Rainbow Rocket, right?
And like the same, it was a bit similar.
It was exactly the same all the way through.
With other remakes, they have been not remakes but third iterations. It's kind of been the same. I guess it depends on what it is, but like Platinum was built upon essentially the same storyline, you know, with the added bits towards the end and the battle tower and the Garantina, and the same thing happened with Emerald, you know. I didn't realize that. I guess it is Black and White 2. I presumed, again, because I can't remember it. I have played it. I can't remember it. It was a similar storyline, but obviously I'm wrong. So in that case, you're right. Maybe they would encourage players, you know, maybe if they tease it early enough, you know, they could encourage players to make, you know, to go out and play them. Like, I don't know, what do
it's
they
hard
do?
Though, right? Like, because like new generation players have got a Switch. They're not going to go out and buy a secondhand 3DS and then have to pay like coin, mate, for Black and White.
True.
Very expensive games.
Maybe you're right then. Maybe they just have to do a new storyline in the same region, or past or future, whatever you want to do. But then you have to, obviously, you can do callbacks or call twos, you know, to the games, you know. I think that you're right, that's probably the best way to do it. Because that way you're appeasing the new fans, because essentially it is a new game then, if it is Black and White 3.
Because there's so much difference between Black and White and Black and White 2. I don't think you could do a faithful remake of those games combined.
What would be sick? No, talking about that, if they did like a bundle, so if they end up doing some kind of virtual console for like the 3DS or DS games, when the game drops, if it is a Black and White 3 remake, you could buy a bundle that come with the original Black and White and Black and White 2 when you buy Black and White 3 or whatever it ends up being.
That would be
like
very
if you
cool.
want to play with it. Like, it would make so much sense.
Yeah, I would really love that. That would be amazing. Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. I had no idea that Black and White 2, I should replay it.
Yeah, you should. Probably the best storylines, I'd say, outside of Scarlet and Violet for me, I think, Pokemon game-wise. Stories, at least.
With the DS out, give it a go. I didn't like it when I was younger because it was too dark.
Oh, really?
Like, it's such, like, a stupid thing, but like because I like colors and I'm all about aesthetics, I didn't like the aesthetics of Black and White 2. That's what really put me off.
Oh, really?
So like, I played the games, but like I didn't find it particularly exciting.
Brilliant decks as well, like when you look at like regional decks as well, Unova's regional decks is so good because it's just made up of Unova Pokemon, right?
Very cool Pokemon.
Very rarely get that anymore. Just because of the amount of Pokemon that we've got. But, you know, I think that was probably the last time that we had a full Dex just with new Pokemon, which is very, very cool. And I think it was like a soft reboot as well of the franchise. You know, it's always talked about as a soft reboot of the franchise as well, Black and White. Yeah, got a lot of time for those games. But whatever we get, mate, it'll be exciting. I think even if, you know, I would go as far to accept a remake from Ilka of Black and White and then getting a Legends game, just because I know how much I love the Legends game. And I know it's not what everyone would want.
I just...
Like, ideally, I would love a new game in the same sort of style as we've got Scarlet and Violet. Obviously not open world. It'll have to be a lot more linear, I think, because I just don't think they've had the time to probably develop an open world Black and White game. But
don't know.
I think they could do stuff like, you know, similar to what they did with Legends Arceus, where it's like you load into areas, right? It's not just free open world, but it's kind of semi-open world, but you're loading into areas. So I think they could do something like that. I think it would be really cool, whatever they do.
I think I'm harping back to ORS because of how good it is. Whenever I think of remakes, I kind of compare it to them now. And I would really prefer it. I mean, let us know in the comments if you're still listening this far. You know, would you prefer like it to be, I'd prefer it to be a main series game. Like, I think it makes it so much more interesting than a remake for me, because I 100% agree there are a lot of players that don't have it, but for the fan base that I have played it, you know, even though I can't remember it, you know, I would much rather it be, you know, developed into a modernized version. You know, like, I don't want to go buy the same game again, even if it looks better stylely. I just prefer... I feel like ORAS was such a good example of combining a remake and a main series game, and maybe they'll never do it again. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but, you know, they've obviously changed the way they release games, and this, I think, will be a really good indication to... what it will be going forward, because, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, because they did Let's Go, right? And they haven't done another Let's Go game since it came out. So a lot of people argued, you know, was that just to test the game, to test some things out? And you could argue the same for PLA, you know, and Ilka, you know, were they testing the waters with the sales and whether that type of thing will work?
And so, I think they're always testing the water with like these little tester games. I think we've seen it throughout the years. You know, you saw Pokemon Colosseum, Gales of Darkness. They were like different in their own rights, but kind of on the same sort of path as where we're kind of heading now, you know. And then we've seen Pokemon Conquest is another one. We always get these like little side spin-off things. And I think they are always testing the waters for these other elements. And what works and what could be implemented in future to kind of keep on proving the main series titles. But it always harps back to that main series title, right? And I think that's what they're doing in aim of getting the best main series title possible out there. I think it'll be telling. It's just, we talked about it before, with the competitive scene, and I think that's a big driving force behind where we see the games going next. Not a driving force for what happens with the main series titles, but I think releases... kind of our dictate, like, you know, the releases dictate the competitive cycle, right? And I think if we see GS Cup come next Worlds, right, to finish off the World Championships in Hawaii next year. GS Cup rules in VG, which feels like it probably will inevitably be, right? Because of how quickly the rule sets change. And Crown Tundra is going to introduce a bunch of new Pokemon, right? We're going to get that new Pokedex with the Crown Tundra. That comes, those rules come into effect, Regulation F, in January. And then after that, you're going to have another rule set after that. And the only transition from that rule set into another one is going to be GS Cup rules, which will take us from, like, what would that be? March into June, right? And then they might transition. They might. I don't know where they'll go after that, if they'll keep the GS Cup rules the remainder of the season. But that would then line up well with a main series title coming in November then. Because where do you go after GS Cup rules? You can't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
So that would be my thinking. And then Black and White game is a main series title that kind of
fills a stopgap
until that 30th anniversary, when they're going to, I think we've theorized that they're going to release Gen 10.
It's very hard to sort of predict what they're going to want to do. You know, whatever they do, you know, I'm not going to sit here and slag it off. You know, if they end up doing a faithful remake, maybe it'll be an improved faithful remake. Maybe they learned from Black and White, from the BDSP, you know, what parts of that did they like? What parts did they not like? Maybe it would be a good faithful remake. Who knows? But I just feel like, you know, I mean, because it could have potential, right? Because if it's coming out on the new console, which if it does, you know, it could be a much better, they could do a lot more with it, right? Whereas Ilco are limited to, obviously, they probably didn't, I don't know how big of a company Ilco are, but, you know, are limited to the restrictions of and the performance of the Switch, right? So maybe they couldn't, maybe they didn't have the time or the development or the developers to create something that was really well optimized. So that's why they stuck to, like, the classic sort of chibi form and stuff like that. Maybe, like I said, maybe on a new console, that they, you know, they, it could be like a much more refined and improved version of Black and White. Still a faithful remake, but like quality of life improvements, where I think, although BDSP was essentially that, I just think, you know, I think a lot of people were disappointed with, you know, you can do a faithful remake, but still, you know, add a, you know, I don't know, just maybe mix up the art style. I just do some, make, you could do a faithful remake, but then maybe make it a bit more spectacular. Jazz it up is what I mean, you know, maybe make the animations better, or, you know, make it so that, I don't know, just, I'm sure they could do cool things that would still make it faithful.
Yeah, just to make it, I think that was a big gripe from everyone at the time of BDSP, was they were expecting something and got completely the opposite, you know. So I think if you got a game, even if it was like built on the Sword and Shield engine, right, people would be happy, like a Sword and Shield graphically designed Black and White game, right? Even if it was a remake, it would be just a different perspective of seeing
I think that would make a lot of people happy, and you know, it would give me more of an incentive to buy it, because if they do like a chibi art style version of Black and White, you know, I'd just be like, well, I have that on the DS, like, having now, you know, went and purchased Black BDSP, you know, it's just like, so we'll have to wait and see. But we're running a bit over today, but it doesn't matter, because there's still one more thing I want to touch on before we end the podcast today.
Yeah. We've got goodie bag stuff, have we?
Not goodie bag stuff. But I did mention to you, this is kind of competitive stuff, but sort of not related. So, but there is, for those who don't know, one of the main ways to practice, we've mentioned in the past, is for competitive battling, is through an online battle simulator called Pokemon Showdown. We've had gripes with it. I personally haven't liked Showdown for a long time for multiple reasons, and a lot of people don't, or didn't, at least, which I'll allude to in a second, the reason why people may have changed their minds. But one of the biggest problems before in the past was, it's, you know, when you go to a competitive event, it's best of three when you play your opponent. Showdown has always been best of one. And you know, once you lock your moves in, you can also go back. So it kind of teaches you bad habits. And then, like I said, you know, you're not getting that sort of real world best of three practice, which can be really frustrating. And for a long time, we've wanted a best of three mode. And they, the other day, miraculously, kind of out of the blue, added a best of three mode. And it's like changed the ball game and changed, personally, my opinion of it, because it's become a much more useful tool for those people that struggle to practice. Because again, playing on kart, it's best of one as well. There's no best of three version on kart. So to get that tournament, if you don't live near tournaments or can't go to locals or stuff like that, it's very difficult to practice, especially, you know, in the UK. If you don't have a large friendship group, you know, of people that are battling, it's hard to necessarily get the practice in before a tournament. So a big thumbs up for that, basically. So I wanted to touch on that because it's a big deal, really. And then they also added the ability to store teams locally. Again, it might not sound like a big deal, yeah, but if you ever played on Showdown, if you move devices, like, your teams aren't going to be on there. Even if it's on Chrome and your Chrome data is all synced, it doesn't swap. I find it really frustrating because sometimes I'll make a team on my desktop and then I'll go play on my laptop and it's not there, and I'm like, I have to send the paste to myself and then paste
it
in. It's really frustrating. Yeah. So it's just a quality of life thing.
I'm ever out and about on like my phone and I'm like, oh, and I'm trying to remember the team that I was playing with or practicing with, and I'm like, I can't remember the exact.
The phone is the main thing, one of the biggest ones. Yeah. It's fiddly on the phone to rebuild it. It's just playing me off. So it was like W after W for Showdown, like a fantastic improvement. And then just before this happened, actually, Showdown was kind of in the mainstream a little bit. And I touched on this previously before the podcast. I told Lee about this because he'd only briefly heard about it. But there's a show that many of you may or not know called Love is Blind. It's a reality dating show. And some guy went on there and was trying to riz a girl up by flexing that he had a high Showdown MMO. On Showdown, you have an MMO that starts at 1,000, and you know, like a good MMO on Showdown is like 1,800 to 1,900. You know, if you're pushing that, you're a good player. You know, and obviously, people found out about this, and so the Pokemon community found out about this, and they went and found his account, right? And so he said he had a high-ranking account on Showdown, and people found his account and basically found out that he lied, and so, I just thought it was so funny that he got caught out. So he went on and said, you know, I'm a competitor. This is this is just wild, like, to have this on a reality TV show, for someone to come out and say this, to claim that, you know, he probably is a competitive Pokemon player. So it's not a lie. You know, anyone who plays it technically is. But they found...
It's not a very good one.
They're just not a very good one. And they found his account, and, like, this is him trying to impress this girl. Hey, remember I told you I was nationally ranked? We're both up there. He was talking with his friend in the national ranking. And then apparently he's banned in multiple countries for, like, chatting shit, basically, on the chat. But essentially they think his username is James Milton J4 on Showdown, because that's what his Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is. So that's how people concluded it. And Showdown has a way of you looking at people's, like, ranking from all previous regulations since you've owned the account. And yeah, essentially my guy, they did him dirty because he lied big, because his elo is not good in anything that he's ever played on. So yeah, I thought it was hilarious. The Pokemon community found it very funny.
Why would you use that as a flex, right? I could understand if you were if you won Worlds or something, right? I think then be like...
Oh, that is a big flex.
But even then, I don't know if I would use it to be like, oh yeah, like, I don't think I would ever approach a situation and use something like that and be like, did you know I did this? To be like, you know, impress someone.
Yep.
But that's just me. I don't know. Other people are shameless. But I mean, lying about it as well. And doing it on national TV, like, of course the PS community are gonna go and look and be like, double check this, because if you are a top player, like, one, people will know you, and two,
it's very unusual for you to, if you're a good player and you play in the scene, you know, people, like, you're known because people, because this is why people have, you have an account on Showdown, right? As we just alluded to, but people have alt accounts to hide, because people know what people's alt like accounts are. People even know what people's alt accounts are because, you know, people want to see, because you can actually spectate games if you don't lock people out of spectating. So there's this whole, like, you know,
I never play as Osiris
community
on
around it. Exactly, program. You know, so people know who you are in the competitive scene. So I just thought it's very amusing to see it sort of coming to sort of the public eye, especially on, like I said, national television. So yeah, that's I think it's a good way to end it, to be honest.
Yeah, funny. Good on what's he called, Milton?
Yes,
good old Mill.
Yeah, Milton.
Milton on Showdown. There we go.
James Milton, my guy.
That backfired. I guess I don't know how the reality show works. So do they have, like, they're not getting any contact with the outside world? Is it one of those ones?
I don't know. It's called Love is Blind. I haven't watched it before. I think it's a Netflix one.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a Netflix show.
I don't watch reality TV shows.
Bro, if you Google it, fucking one of the first articles about it is about Showdown. That's so funny.
Good publicity, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're seeing the Pokemon scene grow. You know, this is a weird way of helping it grow.
Yeah, all good things.
But yes, it's been a very good episode this week.
It has, mate. Thank you so much again for...
Likewise, always. We'll end it there, but thank you for listening. If you made it this far on YouTube, please leave a comment. Let us know what your thoughts about the episode. Yeah. And if you're on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, leave us a review. It really helps us a lot. And thank you so much for listening. Is there anything you want to say before we sign off?
No, just enjoy the Hisuian Decidueye raid if you're taking part in it this weekend. If you're getting the Ultra Premium Collection in 151 and you're cracking it up, and hope you get some good pulls. But other than that, thank you for tuning in. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you, as always, on the Pokeballs podcast next week for episode number 28.
Goodbye.